Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Chris, let's look back at last week, Rockbridge homecoming. A big win, an impressive win.
It was, and I thought our offense really played well last week. You know, and we had a few sputtering drives early in the game, but the second half, I really thought we executed well. Defense did a really good job stepping up and getting those stops. We were able to extend that lead and, you know, and beat a very good Rockbridge team, and I think we can build on that. And, you know, that was, you know, two 4-0 conference teams facing off, and we're really proud of the boys' effort and proud of the coaching staff and the work we put in last week, and, you know, it paid dividends on Friday night.
I guess we talked last week about you all wanting to get a little better in the short and intermediate pass game. Well, there, Cole Stumpy, Jake Weaver definitely showed improvement there.
Yeah, and you know, Cole really had a good game, and you know, whether we're hitting him on a short little, you know, underneath RPO or, you know, down the field in more vertical stretch, he's very athletic. You know, and Cole does a lot for our football team, both offensively and defensively. And I think sometimes, you know, you do that dirty work as a fullback and you block on the edge and, you know, you're blocking for counter. And counter was a great play for us. And Cole, you know, did some great blocking in that too. But then it was nice to see him get rewarded with those two touchdown passes as well. And his ability to, you know, to separate from the defense once he caught it was great.
It's been kind of a old home week, going to your old home.
Yeah. You know, and none of our kids have played a varsity game over there. You know, we played a JV game against Capital City there last year. But as coaches, we're really familiar with the routine, the layout of things, and, you know, what our time schedule will be. We will dress at our place like we always did in the past, and we'll bus over there, you know, dressed and ready to go. We kind of, you know, this is something we've done for years. We know how to handle it. We're confident that our kids will be ready for it.
You know, Capital City coming in 0-5, but, you know, as a first-year varsity program, what have you seen out of them?
I've seen steady improvement, you know, from their week one game, which looked really rough. And you see what they did against Rockbridge, you know, in week four, their ability to rush the football. You can tell that, you know, Coach Jolly's doing a good job. They're beginning to understand what that offense is built to do, and that's built to run the football. And they've got some talented running backs and big offensive linemen. They're all young. You know, that's the beauty of that is that they'll just keep getting better each and every week, and, you know, they're going to be a really dangerous football team.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, it's going to start to sound like a broken record, but it's another week where I'm just going to go, you know what? We were expecting a tough, close game, and Helias passed with flying colors. I mean, a 56-24 win against Rockbridge. Not maybe surprising the end result, but I think, you know, that's just a positive, commanding win for the Crusaders.
Yeah, you look, Bryce Jackson, the Rockbridge running back, ran for 167 yards, and they still beat him by whatever.
Right.
Can't do math in my head that
quickly. 32.
Yeah, 32 points. And it was really we'll start with the offense. Just they were clicking again. You know, another week with 500-plus yards. And it's a team that's averaging 49 points a game now. And, you know, Jake Weaver was Jake Weaver again. You
right.
know, the receivers – The one thing that they talked about wanting to work on last week was a short and intermediate pass game, and Cole Stumpy, you know, what they call a fullback, not a traditional fullback, but what they call the fullback spot, ended up catching five passes for 126 or 24 yards and two touchdowns, including just a bullet right across the middle that he went untouched 68 yards for to the end zone, and plus he had. Chris also pointed out when we were talking for the pregame stuff that, you know, Cole also had a great game blocking, and he said he was one of the highlights of the night.
Right.
And then you go to the defense. The defense got the stops that allowed them to pull away. It's impressive to look at that final score, but, you know, what the defense is doing, yeah, they're giving up a touchdown or two, but they're getting the stops when they need them.
Right.
And then Hawaii starts to pull away and just, I think, takes the will out of who they're playing.
Yeah. You know, maybe not necessarily the Hawaii's coaches would have been surprised because they could probably see this coming. But if I had told you as a Hawaii's fan that, you know, it just if before the season started, I gave you this point totals and I went 31, 68, 41, 49, 56. Those are your scores in your first five games. I think anybody would be very pleased to have those totals and go, you know what? Yeah, we'll hang our chances on, you know, being 5-0 at that point, because that's pretty darn good. I mean, that's a sign of an offense that knows what it's doing. And yes, while you say they may want to try to work on some things, it's obviously whatever they've worked on so far has worked out well for them.
Yeah, you know, my question going into the year was improvement on the line. And who was going to play who were going to be the outside receivers to catch the ball?
Right.
Well, the line has A plus grades.
Yeah.
You know, for through five games, they're running the ball like we haven't seen Helias run the ball for me way back, perhaps even back into the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. This is a team that can run the ball, and I think that's kind of been their Achilles heel in the past. They'd got up against a good team, and they would have problems sustaining drives. Now, they could score points because they could always throw the ball and get in space and do things, but trying to grind out drives was difficult. That's not a problem this year. They've shown they can do that. And, you know, they're still working on the outside receivers. I mean, that, you know, I'm nitpicking here,
right?
But
right.
You know, they're still trying to find guys that can get out there, get open, catch the ball, and score. But really, you know, when you've got, you know, Damon Johans and Stumpy now, you know, they lead them in catches. I think they might have a combined like 35 or 36 catches between them. You know, those inside guys are good. If they could get the outside guys, get them in the offense a little more. And I don't know how you would stop them. I don't think you're ever going to stop them.
Yeah.
You just got to try to find a way to slow them down.
Right. You know, this heading into this week, it's a tale of two teams. I mean, you've got Helias at 5-0 and 3-0 in the CMAC, and you're playing a Capital City team that's 0-5, 0-4 in the CMAC. And Capital City's coming off arguably its worst loss of the season, just by the fact that they were blanked last week, 36-0 to Jeff City. I think it's one of those things where we talked about a little bit in the Capital City podcast that it's still easy to forget sometimes that it's a first year program. You're going to have hiccups.
Yeah.
That was maybe just the one, just the one clunker you're going to throw into this season.
Yeah.
So I assume, you know, if you're Helias, you're going to realize, okay, they're probably not going to play that badly again this week. I think the big thing for me going into this game is just from the standpoint of, you know, you've got contrasting styles. And that, to me, is always the interesting thing when you have two different teams that are kind of like, you know, a little more, spread, you know, kind of the de rigueur that's going around these days in offenses with Helias versus, you know, a throwback in the wing tee. So, you know, how much of this week for Helias is just, you know what, we're going to get to see something a little bit unique, not maybe necessarily for them because they've seen it the last couple seasons, but just the wing tee, whenever you get a run across it, is kind of something that you just go, okay, you've got our attention because it's something different.
Yeah, you look back the last 2 years they played Monroe City, and for those of you 2 years ago that remember the game at Rancho Stadium where Monroe City just ran the ball on him. That first half was just, they could do whatever they wanted between the tackles. And then, you know, Helias made a comeback in that second half and got it tied. But then the last drive of the game, Monroe City just ran it down the field and Helias really couldn't do much about it. You know, last year at Monroe City, the defense was better and better set for it. Now, so they are not kind of scoffing at the wing tee. They're not, because they've been through it the last few years.
Right.
And so one thing that Chris mentioned was he didn't really want to talk about, you know, the 36-0, you know, the 0 points against the Jays, but he goes, he looked back and goes, look at 2 weeks ago where they scored 49 on Rockbridge and ran the ball for darn near 500 yards. And we all saw the Rockbridge defense, and they're not horrible. Again, Helias did put 56 and 500 yards on them, but that was, you know, they're not bad. And he goes, that's what you need to pay attention to. Don't, you know, last week was just an outlier. He looked more at what they did at Rockbridge than what they did against Jeff City.
So with that wing tee then, I know that it's one of those things where you can come up with schemes that can stop it. People have had success stopping it. But how, you know, it's the how do you get to that point where you properly prepare for it that you can stop it. So what have the Crusaders done this week to prepare for the wing tee?
Just kind of, I just I said, Chris, how do you even try to simulate it this week? And he just sort of he laughed for a second. He goes, well, Alec Barchinski, who is high senior starting safety and plays some receiver, as an eighth grader, was at Eldon and at Eldon Middle School, and he was the quarterback for the offense that ran this very same thing, because Shannon Jolly was at Eldon then, and that was the offense they were running.
Right.
And so Alec knows the system. He knows what to do. He knows how to run it.
Right.
So in practice, they've had him play quarterback, and Chris said he gave him great looks all week. You know, he was invaluable. You know, and also Elias offensive line coach Tom Scarborough came from Warrensburg, and they ran it there too.
Right.
So he knows, you know, in theory, wink, wink, how to try to not stop it, but
sure.
slow it down.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting point from the standpoint of, you know, you can know the X's and O's. You can have film on people. You can have scout teams that, quote unquote, know how to run it. But I think that you can't substitute for somebody who's actually run it and has maybe a degree of familiarity where, you know what, they're going to do some instinctive things when they're running it that somebody who's only had time actually running it for more than a few days kind of knows how to run it. So
yeah.
So I think that's probably invaluable from the standpoint of just that he's going to give them more of a natural look to that wing tee that maybe a normal scout team quarterback who's never run it before would give.
This will be a story for all the old people, all the old-time people. Well, go – Jay's quarterback, Bo Adams. I don't know if you remember.
Sure.
He went to Missouri, and he was the scout team quarterback when they were getting ready to run like the option game that Oklahoma was running at the time. And evidently, Bo Adams just tore apart the Missouri first team defense because Bo knew what he was doing.
Right.
Well, strangely enough, I think Oklahoma tore apart Missouri that week too,
and right.
because that kind of foreshadowed the fact that we don't have a chance of stopping these guys.
Right.
And so I think getting the opportunity to say, hey, this is where – these are the keys here. These are the keys that they normally do, being smart. And Hawaii's defense now knows, has a pretty good idea as to what Capital City tendencies are.
You know, and again, you can't overstate it too much, the fact that he knows how Coach Jolly likes to run the wing tee.
Yeah.
Because every coach who runs the wing tee has little wrinkles that they like to run in the wing tee that may be different than some other wing tee coach. So, again, that's just another kind of little inside baseball thing where you go, okay, not only does he run it, you know, this way and is he familiar running it, but he's familiar running it with the way that coach likes to run it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just another feather in your cap there.
Yeah, I think, you know, he we'll wait until after Friday night, but Al Kudrow will be the MVP this week for the defense.
It's worth noting that there's as every week there's kind of a concern about tickets, but how many people will be allowed in this game, and what are we expecting from Friday night at Adkins Stadium?
There's been a little rumbling in the Hawaii's community. They are getting two tickets to the to get into Adkins Stadium as a visiting team. And on the website for the public schools, they always put how many you get. Capital City is getting four. I know. You know, I talked to Chris a little bit about it. He said, "Look, we here whatever for conference games." He said, "Whatever we take, we give them the same." And I think against like Rockbridge, I think it was three. So Rockbridge got three. They tried to keep things as evenly as possible. It's not going to be that way this week. It won't be that way next week. But again, it's the public schools, Capital City and Jeff City are doing what they think is best.
Sure.
And you know, you just kind of have to, I hate to be flippant, but it's their sandbox. They get to decide.
Well, that's the other thing too that I think gets lost in the shuffle. I mean, is just the fact that, okay, yes, you're located inside the same city. But again, there should be, I don't know, some sort of advantage that goes along with hosting a home game. I mean, obviously, in all things being equal, it'd be nice if this world were fair about everything. But sometimes life is not fair. If COVID has shown us anything and 2020 has just beat us over the head with it, life isn't fair sometimes. So, you know what? I'm perfectly okay with a home team going, you know what? It's not ideal, and really there is no true home field advantage in the time of COVID, but this is the way we, quote-unquote, have our home field advantage. So, I mean, who cares? Line up and play the game at this point.
And just remember that they have to come to they come to Ranger Stadium next year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, never mind. I'm befuddled sometimes.
You mentioned Ray Hinch's Stadium and next year, and there's going to be something that happens interesting at Ray Hinch's Stadium later this year, in addition to just whatever games that Halas will be playing there. But there was some interesting news that surfaced this week in terms of Ray Hinch's Stadium.
Yeah, Misha announced Tuesday that it had approved moving the state championship, football championships, to Cole County. Coco, Tony.
Yep, Coco. And, not Como, Coco.
Coco. And that games will be played at Ray Hinch's Stadium, at Atkins Stadium, and the Falcon Athletic Complex. And, you know, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I think it's a chance for those three places to show themselves off a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, Atkins Stadium has hosted state track for years, and you know, people know that facility, but people may not know what's going on out at Wardsville with the Falcon Athletic Complex, or never been to Ray Hinch's Stadium.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, we mentioned this in some of the other podcasts, but I think it's just, you know, it just speaks to the level of commitment that these schools have taken to kind of, in some cases, just continually upgrade, but in some cases, completely start fresh. They've all got stuff that they can be proud of. I think this is one of those things where you look at it and you go, okay, you know, I think I don't remember which podcast I mentioned it on, but you know, go back to not too long ago where, you know what, Atkins Stadium didn't have the nice turf that it has now. Helias didn't have a home stadium. They were playing at Atkins Stadium, and Blair Oaks was playing at Lincoln University. So yeah, it's not too long ago where you go, they didn't have these wonderful showcase facilities that they have now. So fantastic for them that they've got a place where, you know, Michigan, obviously, geography probably played a big part in things. Yeah. But at a certain point, you have to look around and go, hey, do we also have something that will work? Now, I have some questions, and I'll pose them for you, because there are some things about it that you go, okay, these are great facilities. But at the same time, you know, we have some questions about just, okay, I think my first concern whenever I think about something is parking. That's my first thought is, what's the parking going to be like? So I think you're talking about a championship that will probably be more sparsely attended than obviously they would normally be, just because COVID's going to dictate some of that, just because you're going to have just differences of all sorts just because of 2020. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the logistics make things play out with, because Misha has some decisions to make, and it sounds like it's going to be a fluid situation kind of going forward.
Yeah, as of right now, there is no set attendance policy yet.
Okay.
Jeff City Public Schools Activities Director Aaron Earlywine in our story in Wednesday's paper said, you know, right now we're working on it. It's a fluid situation. It could, but I think, you know, from what he said in the paper and from my conversation with Halas Activity Director Tom Gwynn, the idea is to do something similar attendance-wise to what they're doing now.
Okay.
Because, you know, and talking to Tom about it, he said, we can't, in good conscience, just let anybody come into our stadium for everybody come into our stadium for a championship game when we've told our fans for our home games this year we have to limit attendance.
He said,
we can't do that.
Right.
And so I would imagine, you know, right now they're trying to limit it at 20% or whatever, somewhere at 22%. The numbers, it doesn't really matter, but about 1,500 per place.
Yeah.
And then I think that's what the plan is out at Blair Oaks right now, where they don't have attendance restrictions currently.
Right.
But again, we don't know what it's going to be like in 2 months, whenever this comes around. And
it also sounds like we don't know maybe necessarily who's going to play host to what games, or who was going to play host to how many games.
Yeah. When I first heard about the potential of this happening last week, I was told that Misha had reached out to the local schools to see if they were interested. Well, my first thought was, good for them.
Right.
Second thought was, why are they not going to the Columbia schools? You know, because there's three big public schools up there with nice facilities they're playing in. Well, all you had to do was think of, you know, it's the wedding, it's plus one,
right?
So they can downplay the COVID part of this. Michigan, which they do, but I think that has a lot to do with
sure.
why it left Columbia.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about schedule wise. We can almost guarantee you the Class 6 game will be the Friday. Well, it's going to be the Friday of Thanksgiving, and it will be at Atkins Stadium.
Right.
I mean, we just know that.
Sure.
Now, then the Class 1 through 5 games are the next weekend in the combination of the three places.
Right.
We won't know until perhaps even as late as the semifinals.
Right.
Who's playing when and who's playing where? Right. Because Misha says, understandably, if Helias would make it to the Class 4 championship game, it can't play it. It can't play at home. Blair Oaks, Class 3, can't play at home.
Right.
And I don't want to dismiss Jeff City and Capital City chances in Class 5. If they did, they can't play at home either.
Right, right.
So what's going to and what's going to happen is, there too, the question then is, you don't know who. If I had to guess, and I'm just guessing right now.
Sure.
No, I think Class 1 is going to end up out at Blair Oaks.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps even on that Friday night, because Blair Oaks is hosting the Tri-County Conference basketball tournament just up the hill there.
Right.
On that Friday and Saturday, and Friday night is only the fifth and seventh place games. The championship games are all that Saturday, so they might want to just try to keep that potential traffic problem down there.
Sure.
Now the question then comes up is what you do. Who plays when?
Right.
Don't know.
Right.
And the reason I'm saying, if they would make it that far, Helias and Blair Oaks, and I apologize to Jeff City Cap City fans, I'm just going to use who looks more likely right now.
Sure.
As Tom Gwynn told me, we don't want to be hosting a game the same time we're playing at Atkins Stadium.
Correct.
Or playing somewhere
Correct.
Else. He says, because Misha is going to rely on volunteers for us, our volunteers that we provide to work the gates and the concession stands and things.
Sure.
And we, he said, they are the lifeblood of our program.
Right.
We cannot ask them to work
right.
while we're playing down the street.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
So, and I'm sure Blair Oaks thinks the same way.
Sure.
So I'm going to guess what we're going to have. They were talking about maybe trying to play two games on a Saturday, noon and 6.
Right.
Which, okay, but the problem then is that still enough time to get everybody out of your stadium and everybody out of your parking lot,
right.
do a cleaning, which they're going to have to do,
sure,
and then let the next group in.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that we're going to have 3 games on that Friday night and 2 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And it just depends on who's, I don't know who's there yet.
It's a lot of questions. It's a lot of uncertainty, which I think is only appropriate for this
yeah.
time that we're living in right now, that you just go, okay, this year's been all about uncertainty. It's been all about adjusting on the fly. It's been all just about changing at a moment's notice
yeah.
sometimes on a whim, which, again, and I've mentioned this, I think, in the other podcasts as well, and I'll mention it again because I think it bears repeating. Just the fact that we're even talking about what could possibly happen in a postseason is exciting because
yeah.
I would have lost so much money betting on if you had made me held my feet to the fire and said, okay, you got to make a bet. How many, how long do you think this football season is going to go? I didn't think we'd sniff October. The
yeah.
fact that we're in October, we're still playing football, albeit
yes.
without some teams, with
yeah.
other teams who've had interrupted schedules,
yeah.
but just the fact that we're still playing is amazing.
In the CMAC, Battle has lost games because
right.
of it. This week, Smith Cotton has lost games because of
right.
it. You just never know. I know Chris has his fingers crossed, that homecoming last week doesn't come back and with the festivities. He swears that the boys told him that they were good and they did what they were supposed to do, and he says I have to believe him.
Right.
But you just don't know because
yeah.
it could take you. But everybody just cross your fingers, keep it going, and
right.
that things are going
to
go well.
Yeah. All right, let's turn our attention back to this week after a long time away from this week. But I think I know how I would pick this game. I don't know the score I would put on this game, but I'm going to make you put a score on this game. So how big do you see the Helias victory being this week?
I'm gonna come at you from a Helias perspective.
Okay.
In an ideal world, they get out to a big lead in the first half. In theory, bring the running clock into play, start of the third quarter. Starters come out. Each play a series, reserves get to play the rest of the way
yep.
because, let's face it, the big game is next week.
Right.
And I think they're motivated. They'll get that done. I'm going to say Helias 49-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.